Alexi, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Always a pleasure to have you on, Alexi. Turkey, they've signed several treaties over the last 50 years that ban all nuclear detonations, such as the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty in 1980 and the 1996 Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. Why would they be interested now in acquiring these weapons and breaking these treaties?
Well, I mean, there are a number of reasons, Sean, for that. And certainly at this stage, this information needs to be treated with a degree of caution. And why I'm suggesting caution is because of the ways how the current president, Erdogan, is actually carrying out his policies. For a long time, Turkey has always been a long-standing partner and a friend of the West. Turkey aspired to become a member of the European community, but to date, its claims to join the European Union has been rejected due to a number of reasons, not least human rights record. But Turkey, on the other hand, has been a firm and committed ally of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, in which Turkey continues to play a pivotal role given its geography, given its the size of its military. Turkey possesses the second largest standing army in Europe. However, this all began changing recently with Erdogan's plans to make Turkey a regional superpower of the Near and the Middle East, and certainly with his inspirations not only to make Turkey more independent and less dependent on Western influence, but also more assertive about its role and place. And the relations with the West have flamed out gradually, but certainly escalated following the unsuccessful military coup, which the Turks believed involved the United States that supported the plotters, and that in to some extent pushed Turkey towards Russia, because despite the fact that following the downing of Russian bomber at around 2016 and the rapid escalation of tensions between Moscow and Ankara, it was the Russians who actually, they played a very tough card on one hand, but on the other hand, they sort of massaged the Turks, and it was the Russians who tipped them off about the plot against Erdogan planned by the elements of the Turkish military. And that, to some extent, created this a combination of push and pull factors when Erdogan got really grumpy with the United States for a number of reasons, not to say the least, the coup, and on the other hand, began appreciative more and more of his relationship with the Russians. So he apologized for downing the bomber and developed a personal chemistry with Putin and began pushing Turkey away from the West, but not necessarily very close to the Russians. So Turkey is sort of at the crossroads. So Turkish acclaimed or alleged ambitions to acquire nuclear weapons, I think yet it's another perhaps declaratory symbol to highlight Turkish intent under Erdogan to become more and more independent and self-assertive.
And that hunger for recognition you brought up there, just circling back on that one, I think that does kind of, in my reading, reflect from Erdogan's latest statements regarding the question of nuclear weapons, saying some countries have missiles with nuclear warheads, not one or two, but we can't have them. This I cannot accept. If he's been looking for this kind of recognition and this kind of asserting their own identity, would it be fair to say, with some of the discussion around Iran and North Korea, these kinds of states have kind of made their footprint on the international stage recently around these nuclear weapon discussions? He's following on from that.
Well, to some extent, yes, but we also need to appreciate the regional dynamics and regional geopolitics. If we're talking about Near and Middle East with regards to nuclear weapons, first of all, we need to obviously note that Israel remains the only non-declared nuclear-armed state in the Middle East. Before Erdogan came to power, Israel and Turkey enjoyed clandestine but fairly robust and healthy strategic partnership. It's not even a relationship. It was fairly close bilateral cosiness that the two countries enjoyed. But following a number of incidents, including, if you recall, the interception of the so-called peace flotilla on a group of Turkish-flagged vessels that destined to break Israeli core naval blockade of Palestine and were intercepted by Israeli special forces, and there were casualties involved, the relationship between Israel and Turkey went on a cool. On the other hand, we also have Iran with nuclear ambitions, but it also needs to be understood in the context that Erdogan's Turkey is actually developing fairly pragmatic relationship with Tehran, so I don't think it sees it as an immediate threat in the same way they might perceive Israel, nuclear armed Israel. Then you have Saudi Arabia with its nuclear ambitions and the program that no one really kind of keeps a close eye on, because Saudi Arabia still considered to be a bit immune given its special relationship with the United States, plus Egypt that also has clandestine nuclear ambitions as well. So for Turkey to claim leading role in this very complex region, nuclear weapons capability, or at least declaring an intent that Turkey may go down that path, is actually part of the game. So I don't think Turkey sort of sees Iran's nuclear muscling as an immediate threat. It does see Israel nuclear weapons as a threat, but also consider this as a possible tool of additional political weight, particularly against other claimants for regional hegemony, which are Saudi Arabia, which are Egypt, and certainly Iran should not be excluded from that as well. Plus, coming back to your question about the factor of North Korea and to less extent Iran, yes, for Erdogan, who is currently on a sort of a very cool, if not a collision path with the West, nuclear weapons may become a self-preservation tool, a tool that may help to preserve not only Turkey's sovereignty and integrity, but also stability of the regime.
And when we talk about, you know, the battle for power, I guess, in the Middle East as a bit of a game, it's not hard to see some of the key players. I mean, Israel's been fairly mum about their nuclear capabilities, but as you say, they have that incredibly strong relationship with the United States. They've gone to some slightly hard-line policies of late. Saudi Arabia, obviously another close ally of the States. And we saw that battle between the US and Russia kind of playing itself in Iran itself. And the Russians coming away a little bit, I guess, wounded from that one. In terms of the bigger players, the US and Russia, their involvement with these states right now, how do you see that one playing out in future, the influence that those ones are having there, the two countries are having there?
Well, the current crisis between Russia and the United States, particularly in the sphere of nuclear proliferation and nuclear safeguards, with the effective scrapping of the 1987 non-proliferation treaty, nuclear weapons treaty, which prevented the two countries from deploying and developing intermediate range missile capability, paves way or opens doors for countries such as Turkey, such as Saudi Arabia, such as Iran, China, and others to legitimize or acquire this capability and perhaps then accelerate or develop associated programs, because you cannot have nuclear weapons capability without delivery systems. There is no point in acquiring nuclear weapons, bombs, nuclear warheads, if you don't have the means to deliver them. So the current crisis in U.S.-Russia strategic relations, particularly with the scrapping of the 87 NPT treaty, actually opens up a massive can of worms and legitimizes other countries' claims to develop at least the missile capability, which then in theory could be utilized for to be used as a delivery system for launching nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction. We need to remember that the Middle East is not just a home place for countries that have nuclear weapons ambitions, but a number of countries have also robust programs associated with weapons of mass destruction capabilities, such as chemical or biological. So again, this is something that needs to be recognized. But the collision between the two nuclear superpowers creates opportunities for smaller states to maneuver and also source alternative points of influence. Russia's success in Syria increased its strategic weight across the Middle East considerably and put the United States and its European allies on the defensive. So for countries like Turkey, Russia now represents an alternative pole of power, which would not necessarily represent a potential ally, but certainly a client and perhaps a shadow under which ambitious and charismatic leaders like Erdogan can plot and pursue their own policies whilst using opportunities when the two big nuclear giants continue to look at each other with suspicion and continue to sort of live in this new Cold War reality without any foreseeable prospects for radical improvement of their relations, which then could actually have stabilizing effect on problems regions, including the Middle East.
Well, I think you pretty much summed it up with can of worms as well, Alexei. We do appreciate you coming on, straightening a few of them out for us.
Thanks very much for having me.